2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good morning, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch, brought to you by DFSArmy.com, and I am your solo host today, Boomer's Daddy, and this is going to be a short, sweet, quick, to-the-point kind of podcast, and it's going to be a nice little nine-game slate tonight in the NBA. A lot of fun on the horizon for us today, a lot of scenarios to kind of go over, and it's going to be a lot of pivoting and watching out for injuries and stuff. We got some narratives that we have to watch out for. And one guy in particular is questionable as the narrative is coming up. So I am not quite as in the know as far as injuries and stuff yet. I usually rely on Al to do that, and then I kind of go from there. There won't be a lot of injury news here, but what will happen is a lot of the Vegas line breakdowns and a lot of my favorite plays and stuff like that. I won't give everything out away for our VIP members. You get that in Slack and my final thoughts in the notes. But other than that, this is going to be a pretty straightforward podcast. So I want to get straight down to it, and let's have some fun today. So first game is going to be Sacramento and Washington. Right now we've got a spread of minus 11 with a total of 209.5. The funny thing is that I really honestly don't like a lot from this game. If we sit here and we go through the domination station as far as some key points and key guys to look out for, De'Aaron Fox is in a price down situation that we have seen him in, but you know, it's kind of just one of those things like Washington's showing pretty good adjusted EVP against the point guard today, so I might just go ahead and fade that. I really do like Bradley Beal today. Shooting guards against Sacramento are usually a thing, and we can pretty much attack that almost on a nightly basis. The good thing is that, you know, even though he's 7,700, he's been kind of contributing in some of the secondary statistical categories, which is something I kind of like, averaging around 4 rebounds a game, 4.5 rebounds a game, and around 4.5 assists a game. If he can stop turning the ball over, that would be fantastic. And if he gets you about 25 points tonight, that would be great. Usually I don't pay up for shooting guard, but with a higher priced guy tonight, you know, in a very, very, very juicy matchup, even though I feel like he's going to be a little chalky, I'm not afraid to go there. So it's just kind of one of those situations. Markieff Morris, he's playing the minutes, just not doing the production. That front court's kind of all eaten into themselves, so I'm not willing to go there. There isn't a lot I really like from this game because of that. So Bradley Beal's is pretty much my main target here. So Cleveland and New York, we get LeBron in Madison Square Garden, and I believe last time this didn't go so well. But I'm willing to roll back to the well here. Another guy I really, really like is Tim Hardaway Jr. This is probably the guy I like the most at the shooting guard position as far as mid to high price guys, other than Bradley Beal, unless we get a situation a little bit later on. Amon Shumpert's popping off the page. He's going to play about 30 minutes or has been playing about 30 minutes or so over the last couple games with D Rose out. Played 32 against Houston, played 37 against Dallas, and you know, he's not gonna wow you or anything, but you know, $3,200 on FanDuel. I still kind of think he's underpriced, and if he can get going a little bit offensively, he's going to, you know, really be able to pay off that salary. The problem with Amon Shumpert is he gives you the rebounds. He'll give you about 7 to 10 points possibly. But other than that, he's not really, you know, his ceiling is, you know, 10x. His ceiling is 30 to 32. So I don't really like it. I feel he's going to be a little chalky. But we'll see how that goes throughout the end of the afternoon. Kevin Love is in a great spot tonight, and I'm not paying $9,600 for Kristaps Porzingis. I don't really care. So LeBron James at 11-2 is pretty pricey, but he's the de facto point guard. So I mean, you can't really fault him for being that price, and he's got 65-70 point upside. So in tournaments, he's not a bad play at all. If you want to go to that type of situation. So for the Knicks, like I said, it's pretty much Tim Hardaway Jr. and that's about it. Enes Kanter, I guess you could play in tournaments, although I don't think the upside is there anymore. And the center position is actually kind of loaded. I've already mentioned Kevin Love, and there's some other ones that we'll get to here in a little bit. So Jay Crowder's still interesting, 4,200, but with Kevin Love taking the bulk of those minutes at the center position, he's going to play a lot of the four. He's not being asked to score a lot. He's going to do a lot of his damage in the secondary number or the secondary statistics, and he's going to play about 25 to 27 minutes. At 4,200, I don't mind him as a value play in cash, but I don't think I'm going to go there in tournaments. So, let's see here. Memphis and Milwaukee. This is a big one because you got Giannis Antetokounmpo. You've got Anthony Davis, or sorry, not Anthony Davis. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo in probably a neutrally paced game. He's still got 60 point upside. He's projected right now right around the 56 mark, and he's going to play the minutes. So, I mean, he's expensive. He's the most expensive player on the board today. So you have to kind of make sure you find some value if you're going to go there. It's not always a bad thing to kind of go away from that and go to like a Chris Middleton, although the emergence or the insertion of Eric Bledsoe has really kind of cut down on Chris Middleton's abilities. I know a lot of people are going to go and be like, oh, well, I'm not playing Eric Bledsoe. He kind of sucks. Yeah, I wouldn't go there. So I'd be more willing to play Eric Bledsoe in tournaments than I would be Chris Middleton. One, he's cheaper, about $600 cheaper on FanDuel. Two, he's going to handle the ball a little bit more. Eric Bledsoe being in the starting lineup has directly impacted guys like Malcolm Brogdon, guys like Chris Middleton. Even though they're playing the minutes, they're not handling the ball quite as much as they used to. And so that kind of hits into that production a little bit. And Giannis, I mean, his low game of the year is 41. And that came against Oklahoma City, where they kind of got blown out of the building in that game. So, you know, I mean, he's going to get you a pretty close to a double-double and just kind of keep rolling it up from there. So the other guy that I'm kind of interested in a little bit is, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we have to pay attention to him now. Actually, no, we don't. Never mind. I'm not even going to mention him. So don't have to worry about that. All right, let's go to one of the good games of the night, Atlanta and New Orleans. I like a lot here. Obviously, you've got DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday. I even don't mind a guy like Kent Bazemore for the Hawks. The shooting guard position at the for the New Orleans Pelicans is not a very good one as far as defensive wise. He's got probably the best DVP matchup on the board. In tournaments, you can even go to Marco Bellinelli, who can get hot at any moment and just kind of go from there. As far as guys like Dennis Schroeder, Taurean Prince, I'm pretty much off of them at their current price tags. They've got really bad matchups in this game, so I'm not going there. As far as the combination of Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Drew Holiday, I've kind of kept saying it, and I will. I'm not afraid to play both Boogie and AD in the same lineup. I'm not afraid to pair one of them up with Drew Holiday in multiple lineups. So that's pretty much where I'm going to stay and head on that way. Other than that, just kind of looking at things, it's not a game I'm too excited about other than those guys right there. Maybe a Dwayne Dedmon if he's cheaper on DraftKings. I have not looked at DraftKings pricing yet this morning. Maybe there, maybe a Luke Babbitt as well. But, you know, that's just for salary savings. And, you know, Luke Babbitt's going to play 30 minutes and he's $3,400. So it's just kind of one of those things that you've got to pay attention to some of the value there on FanDuel and adjust your expectations a little bit. So let's see here. Go to Minnesota and Utah. And I'm not giving spreads for these for some reason. This game is at a 13.5, or sorry, a 3.5 in Minnesota's favor with a total of 207.5. Rudy Gobert is going to be out, and that automatically puts a bump into Derek Favors' production. I also like Donovan Mitchell's production as well. For some reason, Thabo Sefolosha is popping off the page. I think he's going to get the start. I think that's the reason why. I'm not quite 100% sure, but the last game against Brooklyn with him, you know, being out, with Rudy Gobert being out, he played 32 minutes, 35.3 FanDuel points. I don't know. I don't mind it in cash, I guess, but Thabo doesn't really have a high floor. He can play, you know, 15 minutes. He can play 30 minutes. If he plays closer to the 30 mark, I would say his ceiling is probably right around the 35 point area. Thabo Sefolosha is always like a GPP play to me. Maybe with the idea that he's going to be in the starting lineup now, that changes things a little bit. I would much rather go to Donovan Mitchell. I know there's a huge price discrepancy there. It's $1,700. But he's got a better matchup, and he's going to be taking more shots. He's going to be playing the minutes, taking the shots, and the profit potential isn't quite what it used to be when he was down below 5K. But, you know, he's going to be a little bit more consistent than, you know, Thabo. Thabo is kind of all the way kind of on the range of outcome schemes for me. So we'll see what the domination station pops out a little bit later. So let's see here. One of the games of the night. This is, in my opinion, this is one of those slates where you can load up on the last four games. The Phoenix Lakers, the Portland Nuggets, the Clippers, Sixers, and the Warriors and Magic, and probably outscore one of your main slates. It's just really, really, really kind of one of those things, like when you get a lot of these fast-paced teams on the West Coast, you know, it's worthy consideration if you're putting in multiple tournaments to pop out some of these teams that are just focused on late slates. You're going to find a couple guys at lower ownership. You're going to have unique stacking combinations that are going to help you kind of climb the leaderboard a lot faster as if you had just one or two. Now, I do think that there are plays viable in the earlier games, but you can get creative with your roster builds today. So that's something that I really don't mind doing. But let's go to this Lakers Phoenix game. This is one of the higher totals of the night, 227 total. Really, really close game. Phoenix is actually favored this game. They're 1.5-point favorites over the Lakers. Let's start with Dragan Bender. Okay. He's min price on FanDuel. He's going to play around 22 minutes. Now, this guy is very, very interesting because with Jared Dudley as a game time decision, Dragan Bender's minutes over the last three games have been right around that 22 mark. He's got 18, 18, 26, but he also followed it up against a 10 in that Brooklyn game. He needs a lot more shot attempts in order for him to be successful. But in tournaments, he is getting minutes and he is a guy that can get hot. I don't know if I would go to him per se. I would rather go to a guy like Jordan Clarkson, who's only 4,300, or even Marquese Chris, who's been the bane of our existence this year. So I don't mind that. I'm probably not going to play Devin Booker. He's 7,400, but he's going to get a lot of KCP defense, more than likely, because he's their best offensive threat. And then the rest of this rotation for the Lakers is really, really, really kind of off. You've got Lonzo Ball, who still isn't shooting well, but he is putting out, he was the youngest player to ever record a triple-double, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 13 assists. That's kind of what he's going to be doing. He's like a Russell Westbrook that can't score. He's going to fill up the secondary statistical categories, and, you know, he also had 4 blocks and 3 steals in that game. You know, so that's what kind of got him to close to that 70-point mark. I think he's going to be a little chalky tonight going up against Phoenix. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities, especially considering that his breakout game, he kind of tore them up as well. Remember, that was a little bit different of a situation. He had 54.7 points against him last time, but that was, I believe that was an Eric Bledsoe game. So, you know, Eric Bledsoe was in IDAGF mode. So it was kind of one of those things. I don't mind it, but it's not something that I feel like I have to go to. If I am putting Lonzo Ball in there, I'm pairing him up with a guy like, you know, Kyle Kuzma, who they seem to have a really, really, really good knack together. 41 minutes last game out. Julius Randle was kind of regulated to around 25 minutes, and that's what he's going to do. Julius Randle's probably too expensive for me unless I'm stacking up this game, which is a viable possibility, but you don't have to do it. It's kind of just one of those things. Brandon Ingram, he's painful to roster. He can go off for 35. He can go off for 12. So he's regulated to tournament duty, especially at 5,900. So just kind of one of those things. Guys like Luol Deng, Josh Jackson, Corey Brewer, don't even worry about them. TJ Warren, 7,100. I don't know what to do with TJ Warren. I guess if I'm fading Devin Booker, then TJ Warren's the obvious go back to. Alex Len's going to be pretty chalky tonight. I think mixed exposure is probably pretty good there. And I've yet to do it, but I'm going to look into the Tyler Ulis kind of train. I've got to go back and watch that game, see exactly, you know, why Tyler Ulis got more minutes than Mike James. I have no idea, honestly, why. So I'm going to go back and watch that. $4,000 if Tyler Ulis somehow gets the start, or I feel like he's going to get more minutes than Mike James, then I might roll him out there. But it's just a tournament move. And it's depending on whether or not the field is actually going to react to whatever happens. So Let's go to Denver and Portland. Read an article this morning that Yusef Nurkic was the reason why Damian Lillard was struggling. I don't buy that, but this place where I read the article is one of those places that kind of has a negative attitude about everything. And so I'm kind of like, whatever. Gary Harris could be out for this game. If he is out, then that brings in Will Barton and Wilson Chandler into the mix. Will Barton has been running some of the backup point guard duties, and they've been working Jamal Murray off the ball. Emmanuel Mudiay has been working off the ball as well a little bit. Both of these guys are kind of cheap, but Portland's one of the better defensive teams on the slate, so I'm probably not going to go there. It's just not something that I really, really kind of feel like I want to attack. This is interesting because I'm going to have to go back and look at exactly what Nurkic did against Jokic last game that they played later on last year. But I want to say that Nurkic kind of went off. If that's the case, then I really, really do like this matchup for Nurk. He's probably the cheaper of the two, although I don't mind either one of them in tournaments. So it's one of those situations that, you know, on DraftKings, if I can pair them up together and get a little center ping pong action going, then I'd probably go there. The question of the day is going to be Paul Millsap. Al-Farouq Aminu's out, so I'm not worried about going at this game from Millsap. But I feel like he's going to be a little bit cheap. Are a little bit too chalky. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up the pace stats here because I feel like right now, currently, Portland is 19th in pace under 100. They're at a 99.7 pace. The bad thing about this is that Denver is not that much higher. So where this game is at a 211, I think that it's probably one of those things that you have to kind of look at a little bit. And Portland's the fourth best defensive efficient team in the NBA right now, and they're one of the better ones on the slate. It's just kind of one of those things, like, I don't know if I really, really, really want to pick on it with a lot of Denver players. On FanDuel, they are allowing, let's see here, most of their production is to the center position, but in relative to the rest of the NBA, it's not as good. I don't know kind of how you can attack this team without a lot of information. I do like Evan Turner at 4,500 on FanDuel. He's going to play close to 30 minutes. I also like Maurice Harkless, who's going to play close to 30 minutes. I like both of those guys here tonight. I'm not going back to Ed Davis because, you know, Nurkic is out. I know he's going to play some minutes, but him and Noah Vonleh are kind of in a timeshare, so I'm not really going to go there at all. But Evan Turner and Maurice Harkless are going to both play, you know, 27 to 32 minutes. And Evan Turner, like I said, when Dame comes out, he'll run some of the backup point along with CJ McCollum. When McCollum's out and Dame's in there, he'll run some of the point and allow Lillard to work off the ball. I do like Lillard and CJ McCollum as well. They're both strictly in play for me, especially now that they're at home. So that's just kind of one of those things that is going on. Philly and the Clippers. Big news is we got to watch out for Joel Embiid, see what the situation is there. I think he's going to be capped at 30 minutes if he plays. I expect him to play, but you never know with this Phillies or the Sixers team. So if he does play, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. because DeAndre Jordan's not that great of a defender, but he does clog up the middle, which is where Joel likes to kind of obviously play. But he can go back and forth and kind of have some fun. I'm not playing Lou Williams. His price has gone up there. It's $5,500 now. I know this is a good matchup. I do like the little bit of J.J. Redick revenge and maybe some Austin Rivers ping pong. Yes, I did just recommend Austin Rivers on the podcast. Hell is freezing over today, guys, so don't worry about it. Willie Reed had a good day against the Thunder. I'm not going back there. You know, guys like Sedarius Thornwell, he could be viable. He's still cheap. He's going to play 30 minutes. Probably one of the better names in the NBA. He just doesn't have a ceiling to me. I mean, he's yet to break over 20 fantasy points, so I'm probably not going to do that. Wesley Johnson's probably going to get some more run tonight again. And Dario Saric has carved out a nice little role for him as well. And he's pretty cheap at $4,600. Ben Simmons, I'm willing to go back to the train here. I know he didn't have a good game against he hasn't had a couple good games against Golden State and Sacramento. This is one of those, Al's talked about it a time, this is one of those West Coast road swings where this is the first time he's been out, so you can probably think about fading him. His price has gone down to $9,300. This is just kind of an ugly game for me. I do like Robert Covington a little bit. He's going to fill up the stat sheet. And other than that, probably not a lot. So Orlando and Golden State, 13-point spread. And remember, guys, we don't predict blowouts in the NBA because you just never know. This is the highest total of the game, 220, or of the slate, 229. Curry is questionable, but it is Curry bobblehead night, so I expect him to play. If he does play, then, you know, I'm not breaking a commandment. I'm going to load up on Curry. Still do like Durant. I mean, all of the Golden State guys are in play. I also like Evan Fournier. Not really going to go to the Elfrid Payton if he's in. Even if he's out, I'm probably off all the point guards for the Magic here, so not going to go there. Guys like Jordan Bell, Andre Iguodala, I'm not playing these guys in order to hopefully predict a blowout. I'm sticking to a core here. Guys like, you know, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Vucevic are probably the guys that I want the most from the Magic. I do feel Clay's in play. 6,600. We know that the guy has 50-point upside, especially in really good matchups. So don't mind going there. Probably not going to pay $7,300 for Aaron Gordon going up against Draymond Green. I'm really kind of interested to see exactly where Draymond might actually be on Vooch a little bit more with Durant sliding down and playing against Aaron Gordon. It just kind of depends, but I'm probably going to have limited exposure to the Vooch-Gordon combo. So, alrighty, guys, that looks like it's going to be it for today. Kind of, like I said, breeze through these. I know it's not ideal when Al is out. I did not plan to have a solo pod, so I kind of ran through my notes. But other than that, if you want to join the DFS Army, then go to dfsarmy.com, use promo code TIPOFF, or just ask Al what the promo code is. This is how unprepared I was to run a solo pod today. So, all right, guys, this is going to do it for us today. Make sure you check us out, dfsarmy.com. All the updates and stuff will be up throughout the site. Al should have his article out no matter what. And we will kill the slate tonight. So for the not present Al and everybody else, this is Keith saying see ya.